Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, guys, I have good news and bad news. I'm going to tell you the bad news first. So the bad news is that this is officially the season finale of Working Hard, Hardly Working podcast, season one. Thanks for joining in. And the good news is that we have the one and the only... That was a drum roll. Tolly T from the Receipts podcast here to talk about her writing, her life as an editor, as a podcaster, as a producer, as pretty much everything that anyone talented could really do. And I'm such a big fan of Tolly. While Talani is best known for hosting The Receipts, she has established herself as a trusted voice that resonates with millennial women on and off the mic. A former beauty editor for BuzzFeed UK, Talani's credits include Elle, The Independent and Refinery 29. Her breadth as a creative is undeniable as a one-time playwright for The Young Vic, with commissioned monologues under her belt and TV credits including hit Netflix series Top Boy. I cannot tell you how excited I am to be chatting with Talani today, and you will hear just how eclectic her working journey has been. As always, please share with your friends, share on your story, rate on the Apple Podcasts app or wherever you listen to this, and get the word out there. And thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to the first season of Working Hard, Hardly Working. Who knows, might be the only season if you hate it. It has been such a great journey and I've really, really loved it. Enjoy. Hello, Tolly, how are you?
Hey, my love, I'm so good, thank you. Very excited to be here.
I can't tell you how excited I am to have you. I live in a house of like very big Receipts fans as well. So I'm like, I'm just going upstairs to talk to Tolly.
Oh my God, yes. Me and Tolly just going to FaceTime.
Yeah,
the chat.
Sorry guys, just the regular, you know me on my Thursday afternoons.
So I always just talk to Tolly.
Exactly. Well, we're going to go straight into some quick fire questions on working hard, get to know a bit more about you, what your work's like. So number one, reading or podcasts?
Oh, reading.
Time blocking or winging it?
Oh, winging it.
Next one, more or less than 8 hours sleep?
Right, okay, so I get less, but I nap. I'm a napper, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, I love a nap.
Oh, just do a little sleep, yeah. But it's really bad because it's never like a power nap. So it's never like, oh 45 minutes. I sleep. Like sometimes I'll wake up at like 8 o'clock, like, oh no.
Oh yeah, that's not
like,
ideal.
Like, what have I done? I know. So I literally try to like book all of my meetings in the morning just in case the nap like overruns.
Yeah, that's fair. I do the opposite. I book my meetings in the afternoon to give myself the morning because I just know that after meetings, I'm not getting back into it. But anyway, we'll talk about all of these things. Office or working from home?
Do you know what? Office.
Yeah, I agree. Early bird or night owl?
Yeah, definitely office. Oh, night owl, for sure.
Do you write through the night?
Even though I wake up early. Yes. I was just talking to Ben, your producer, earlier. I can't write during the day. There's too many distractions. There's other things that feels like I need to be done. Mm. I feel the need to reply to everybody. But at nighttime, it's like I come alive. I come alive in the nighttime.
And
I come alive in the night. I'm literally just on it. And like, I feel like more ideas. Do you know, I think it's been from uni, always doing things like the night before.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just used to it.
I used to love essays overnight at uni. And now I feel like I can't work like that because I feel like that's the only thing that means that I can't maintain social life and work if my work like drifts into the evening. And so I'm really rigid, but I do feel like I'm actually probably more creative, especially because your brain's been like running for the day. So like first thing in the morning, what's it going to do? Think about your pillow.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not very helpful, is it? So first things first, your bio is incredible. I and many others know you from The Receipts and you know I'm a huge fan. But as well as kind of being the nation's best friend, you are an incredibly multi-talented writer, content creator, storyteller, producer, creative. I'd love to know kind of how you molded your career to encapsulate all of these talents and roles you wanted to play.
So, like, I was quite lucky to have figured out what I wanted to do from early and then craft my education to go alongside that. So I went to, when I went to college, I did like sociology, media. I was going to say psychology, but I got a biggest U in psychology.
It's the thought that counts.
Oh my God. And I did English. And the thing is, like, I've always been naturally smart. I never really had to like study that hard. But A levels were like, no, honey. I found
they
A-levels.
Really knock you for six,
oh
don't
my
they?
God, A levels, I found them.
They're just like,
so
oh, GCSE is like cool, hard. You've got to work, all of that, and then you go to A levels, and they're like, we're gonna make you feel awful.
I remember getting my AS results, and I was like, I'm an idiot. And it was the first time ever. I was like, what? I'm an idiot. I never got anything less than a C in my life, sort of thing. So I remember I failed like psychology. I got a massive U in that, but I did sociology, media, and English. So I was like, okay, cool, that's still fine. We're still on track. We're still on track. And I remember getting my A level results, and I got a BBC, and I was like, this is it. This is. I know it sounds ridiculous. I was like, this means I'm meant to work for the BBC.
That was not what I thought was coming next.
That's what I thought. I was like, here is the sign. Like, this is it. Oh my God, God is so amazing. Look at how he's giving me this sign. I'm going to work for the BBC. Great news. It's all figured out. And then I went to uni and I did like media and communications. I went to Brunel University and I did a sandwich course. So with a sandwich course, you could take like 6 months out of your second year and your last year to go do a work experience. And I was like, oh, good. Because obviously when you work in the media, you're very aware of how experience is needed. Yeah. And always got told, since my first 2 weeks at Sugar Magazine, that make sure you get work experience, make sure you get work experience, make sure you get work experience. I was like, cool, I'll get loads of work experience. And then before that, so it was weird because Brunel was the only place that was just media and communications. At every other university I applied for was to do broadcast journalism. I was like, I'm going to be a broadcast journalist. So, like, I'm going to be on telly, I'm going to read the news, I'm going to like be a presenter, like that kind of vibe. And I remember like my boyfriend at the time was like, why would you do broadcast journalism? Your voice is so annoying. Literally, he was like, your voice is so annoying. He was like, nobody would ever literally
nothing.
It was like, no one's ever gonna want to listen to your voice. And I was like, you know what, fair point, you're right, my voice is annoying. But
I wonder how he feels now.
Hopefully like a massive knob,
because also he probably has to listen to your voice when he doesn't want to. He's probably minding his own business.
I know,
listening to something on Spotify, and
then suddenly
up,
it's
like,
hey, she's girl Tolly T.
Yeah, and he's like, well, go
for
yourself,
for God's sake, get lost. Like, literally, I hope he feels like a massive knob. And I was like, yeah, you're right, I'm not gonna do that then, I'm gonna write. So I was just like, did media communications. So I said to complete my 6 months, so I did another 3 months at a place called DV8. Random, right? So I'll tell you about DV8. At the time I was looking after two rappers, so Getz, as he's known now, but then he was called Ghetto. Yeah. His name was actually Ghetto, but now he's Getz. So I was looking after Ghetto, and I was looking after Devlin, which is like a rapper from Dagenham, which is where I'm from. And I was like, I was there, I did the 3 months there, but I was like, oh, there's no way I'm working in the music industry again. It was just like, I was like, I wasn't the star. I was like, why am I not the star? Like, I had to be like,
excuse me, you get, you manage me.
Like, what is going on here? Why do I have to see where Devlin is? Why do I have to see where Ghetto is? Why can't even check where I am? Like, what is happening? So I decided, I was like, yeah, no, this is not for me either, sort of thing. But it was a really, really good experience. Like, really, really good experience. And then went back to uni. And then my last placement, I worked in a magazine, like as a publisher. So I was a publisher's assistant at there. Again, I'm trying out all these different things in the media to figure out what it is exactly that I want to do. So I was a publisher's assistant there. And I remember, so downstairs was the publishing and upstairs was all the editors. Of course, that was my goal. So I remember one time making a cup of tea and an editor of a magazine was having a conversation that had nothing to do with me. And she was saying how she needed a taxidermy for a shoot. She was like, oh,
and you said,
so
I have loads of
so random. No, literally, and I was like, well, this is it. I literally, in my head, I don't know if I thought I was on the hills or something. I was like, I'm going to get her a taxidermy. I don't care what fucking happens. She's going to get a taxidermy. It's going to be for me. So like, she will get her taxidermy. So literally the whole, I didn't even, before that, just I didn't know what a taxidermy was. I was just like, I'm just going to search it.
Yeah.
I'll find it. Sure. I didn't go home. Everyone went home at 5. I didn't go home till about 7, 8 o'clock, like calling up different areas, trying to like, no one had asked me to do this, by the way. But so I was like calling up different areas, trying to figure out how to find a taxidermy. So I found one. So I put a little post-it note, put the number, put the details and put it on her desk and be like, yeah. And it was me that did it, sort of thing. And the next day she kind of came downstairs and she was like, I want you to work for me. like, you can be my ed's assistant. Like, you, like, I don't want you to, like, come and be an editorial assistant. So I was like, perfect. So it was for a magazine called Fancy Magazine, and which was a magazine for a nut, a shop selling nuts. It's called Julian Graves. It's now shut down, of course, because who needs a shop that just sells nuts? like, who needs that? So, like, she gave me a page to write, and the page is always just, like, writing about, like, nuts. And that's all I wrote about. Like, I'd pick a nut a month. And I'll write about this nut. And then I used to get to go on photo shoots. And then I started, like, taking pictures of, like, sweets and nuts.
Sorry, what photo shoots were taking
the nuts? I beg your pardon.
The, like, celebrity nuts.
We had front covers every month. Well, every, like, other month. And we used to take pictures of, it was cakes and nuts and, you know, just bunny rabbits. It was just random. But it threw me into this world where I met, like, loads of chefs.
Yeah.
And, like, knew loads about food and would go to, like, chefs' houses to, like, yeah, it was just really, really random. But anyway, so when that closed, evidently, so that magazine closed. And then the editor, Julia Shaw, I love her to bits. Really random. She reached out to me recently and I was, like, so happy about it because, like, she was so amazing to me the whole time she was there. Like, I was like, look at her little daughter, honestly. She had three boys and, like, who are, like, just light as, like, yeah, we just really got on. So anyway, that magazine closed and she got another job on another magazine called Life and Living. So Life and Living was for the over 70s. So I did that for a while. And then, of course, that magazine stopped. Who would have thought it? A magazine for the over 70s didn't do that well. So when that stopped, luckily, in the same publisher house, another editor, they were starting another magazine, which was Pro Hair and Beauty. So I did the interview. And again, I was so lucky to work with Sophie West. This was now. Sophie was absolutely amazing to me. Like, so anyway, that magazine kicks off now. And eventually they offer me a role to do 3 days a week. So I was like, okay, quit your job at Santander. Like, you know, go, like, be committed. And just, whilst you're doing this 2 day a week, look for other full-time writers gigs as well. Yeah. So I was at Pro Hair Beauty for a while until I became actually a full-time employee there. And all this time, it's like, the world is worlding and magazines are going to shit. Like, nobody's buying magazines anymore. I remember Company Magazine went under and I was like, whew, that is a big name. That's a big name to go. So I started being like, I need to get out of print. I was like, I need to get out of print. I need to go online. Everything was online. Mm. But I was getting no's left, hand, at centre. And at this point, I'm still applying to work at the BBC because I thought it was my life's goal. Never got an answer. Yeah, never got a job at BBC, of course. So I got a job at Say Feminine, which sounds like a tampon dad. But it was it was an online website, which was a partnership from another French company, which was called Au Féminin. So we were at a UK branch. I was there for, I think, exactly a year. And I remember my friend had sent me, there's BuzzFeed were doing an internship. Mm-hmm. And she sent me this thing. She was like, I think you'd be great for this. You should apply for it. And I was seeing it. And I was like, I'm not interning anymore.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I'm 25. And remember, my first internship was at 14. I've been interning for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? In and out, doing bits. And I was like, I refuse. I'm not interning anymore. I felt like at this point, I have grafted. Mm-hmm. I've done my part. I deserve a full-time role somewhere that didn't start with an internship. Like, I was just like, I'm not interning anymore. So I didn't apply for the internship. But a month later, a role came up, which was the a beauty writer. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to apply for that. So I did this, like, applied for it. It was the longest process to get a job I've ever gone through in my life.
They love to do that, don't they?
Four different... Oh my god, I had like four different interviews, one with someone in America. I had to write four different posts to go online and do one face to face, and after the face to face one, do another phone one. I was like, oh my god, I remember, like,
3 years at this,
like, literally just to get a job there. And like, it was so bad because the BuzzFeed office and my office where I was actually working was a 5 minute walk from each other, if that. So if I had an interview, I'd be like, I hope no one comes out of the same station and sees me coming out of this station and not going to work but going to my BuzzFeed interview.
Yeah, oh, of course.
So I'd like sneak in interviews at lunchtimes. I'll sneak in interviews like just before. I'd be like, hey, I'm running a bit late, the trains are like delayed. They're not delayed, I'm going for an interview.
So
I was like doing all of that just to like get the job. So I got the job. So I left So Feminine and yeah, I worked at BuzzFeed for about 2.5 years, if not a bit more. I think just under 3 years, and then I got bored. Mm-hmm. And at this point during this, a podcast has started. I started doing the podcast as, yeah, just something to do on the side as well. I don't think I thought for a second it would be this now. And then I just got bored and I was like, in my head, I kept thinking, what would a podcast look like if someone was on it full time? Like, just kept repeating in my head. I was like, how much bigger can this get if I really focus on this? How much bigger can this get if I really focus on this? And then I think BuzzFeed were doing redundancies. Now, this is the first time in my career I'd ever gone through a redundancy. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Like, it was the weirdest time working in an office in my life. But like, and it was such a big lesson for me in fear.
Yeah.
And how fear came. For sure. I was just so scared. I felt like I wasn't ready yet. I was so scared. But literally a month later, I made a decision to be like, okay, I'm out.
Mm.
And I left. Not having the fuggiest what I was going to do. Like, I'll be honest with you. I thought I'll give a couple of months max. But then I'd saved as well. So I've got a fuck off fund.
Yeah.
Which I talk about often. Which is just like a box of money that you put somewhere in case you need to get the fuck out of any situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, cool. I've got enough money here that if I don't earn a single penny in 3 months,
yeah,
I'll be fine.
You'll be okay.
So I was just like, okay, cool. Do that. That'll be my markup for 3 months. Blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like pitching to do like, to write for places. I remember my first thing I did was for, I pitched for this piece and it was for an essay and it got accepted. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get some big money now. And they paid me 50 quid.
For an essay as well. That's a lot.
Grace, do you know how long?
It's not even one of those slideshows you can click through in like 25 slides about.
No. It was nothing like what I used to do at BuzzFeed. It wasn't like, it was a proper article with thoughts and opinions and citations. It was for The Independent. And I was like, brilliant. I'm gonna they paid me 50 quid. And I was like, I can't live off being a freelancer. I was like, this is impossible. Like, and then I started calculating how many pitches I need to do every week or every month to make up to a certain amount of pay. And I was like, no, that's insane.
With 50 pound essays, I can imagine that would have been
literally, yeah. So there's no way I can live like this. So I started applying for full-time jobs, doing interviews, but yet, like, I remember I got offered a full-time job. I got offered a really good job and I was like, don't take it. My head just got saying, don't take it.
Where was the full-time job?
And again, I'm like, it was for a television company, actually, to be their, their social media person.
Okay.
And I was just like, I remember declining it. And like one part of me was like, who do you think you are?
Like, you're like, I'm Tolly T, bitch.
Like, who do you actually think you are? Like, you are declining a full-time paid world job. And there was time I was like, nah, just wait, just wait. And I don't know what it is. I mean, like, I'm a Christian. So I'm just like, if in my mind, I was like, was it God? Just wait me. Something's gonna kick off. So I'm still like, I'm hustling now, doing bits and bobs. And then I get the opportunity to do the thing for Netflix for Top Boy.
Yeah.
So I'd been working for this marketing campaign for a completely different campaign. My time had been done with them. It was time to finish, wrap up, go home. But then they were like, hey, we've got this pitch. Do you want to be a part of it? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I didn't realize at the time it was Top Boy, it was Netflix. And that happened and it was insane.
That is so mad.
So, and then around this point, like literally insane. At this point, I'd got a DM from some random lady being like, hey, have you got anyone looking after you for writing? And I was like, what the hell is she on about?
Generally, no, I'm like, not even looking after myself.
For writing. I'm not looking after myself. If you think I'm going to share my 50 quid earnings with you, you've got another thing coming. Like,
you don't even want this.
Just about making money. Yeah. Just about making money writing, about looking after me. And I've got a friend who's another writer, which is very successful. She's wrote amazing TV shows. She messaged me, Rachel Delahaye, which I love her to bits. She was like, "Hun, Kat has been trying to DM you about looking after you." She was like, ever since I joined the agency, my like pay has tripled. My money has tripled. I was like, well, I guess I'm joining. I was like,
reply back.
I could get 150. Yep, I could get 150 at this point. I was getting 50 quid. I could get 150 quid. So I messaged her. I was like, hey, yeah, sure, let's meet. So like, I meet her for like lunch or something. And she talks about like wanting to be my agent. And again, at this point, I didn't know what it was to have an agent. I didn't even think, I wasn't an actress or anything like that. I didn't think having an agent was something that was like possible. Please, PM. Yeah, that I could get. And like, I'd always enjoyed writing. I wrote a lot for my work. And also, like, when I was younger, I used to have, like, a thing where I'd write made-up stories. But it would basically be what happened at school, but I'll change the names. And just be, I think, and I was writing a script, but it wasn't really a script. Mm-hmm. I just thought, I didn't realise it was a script at the time. I was just writing sort of thing. But I'd always been interested in television. I love television. I watch it a lot. Like, I've always wanted to write my own TV show sort of thing. So she's like, yeah, like we can work together, we can make things like that happen. So I get an agent now and she like looks after me and I'm meeting up with producers, like,
did your earnings triple?
Chat, see what's possible. I remember, you know what, more than if we're considering the 50 quid, yeah, it did actually, guys. It really did. It was up,
so
it was
pleased.
Up from there.
I really needed that, like, conclusion to that. Just on edge.
It worked. So then I just started doing more writing stuff for like the theatre. God, this has been the longest story ever. So yeah, I started doing more theatre writing and just different types of like writing and just like seeing where the skills I already had could be like passed out. And even in terms of being a producer and stuff, that was something that I learned out of necessity. We had a podcast, we didn't have any money to pay anyone to like produce it, so I was like, okay, cool, I'm gonna learn.
But I think as well, a huge part of like the whole story of it is it's so clear that you weren't afraid to take opportunities. And yep. Also, more importantly, I think not take some opportunities that actually just didn't feel right. And obviously that's not a luxury that like people you always have or whatever, but actually being able to know when it's not what you want to do, I think is just yep. as important as well. Because
definitely.
That's, I mean, when you look at your like bio now, it kind of, you know, you've shaped a career around your talents and you've been able to have your personal brand and you've made it what you want it to be. And
yep.
so many people could look at that and think like, oh God, well, it's because of this and this and this. And actually, it's a much longer journey, but it's an accumulation of saying yes to the right opportunities and no
yep.
to the wrong ones, or sometimes yes to the wrong ones and then realising down the line. And
yep.
actually, I mean, I think it's very reassuring as well, because like you've done so well that actually being able to know that it doesn't need to always be as well about like, I'm going to do this in 5 years and this in 10 years or whatever. And of course, you've been intentional about that
yep.
as well. But I think that, you know, we're always sold the story of like, you need to plan this and then you need to go for this and then do this. And actually, sometimes it's about just being like, okay, fuck it, I will take that.
No, definitely. Sometimes it definitely is that as well. And as much as that, like, I try to plan things. I try to be like, here's who I'm going to be and here's how I want to be. I just realise that sometimes life just happens and you just take opportunities. Mm. And also sometimes, like, every time I often get asked the question like, oh, what would you tell 15-year-old you? And I'd be like, dream bigger. Because sometimes in planning things, I felt really small. I dreamt really small. My plans were always really small. Because to plan bigger, like the life I live now, it wasn't in my wildest dreams. How could I have
yeah.
planned for something I'd never seen? So to try to have stuck to a plan would have been like, I would have just carried on just being a journalist because that would have was the plan. And that would have been where the dream was capped, sort of thing. And then even when it comes to like knowing what to say yes and no, I've said yes to some things that I was like, God, I wish I didn't do this. And it's like, it's the why you're doing it. You're like, why did I say yes to this? Like, I hate myself right now. Why am I doing this? And like, so because of that, I've like decided that like I have certain questions I ask myself before I say yes to stuff.
What are those questions?
All right, okay, let me see if I can remember it all. It's kind of like, what are you doing it for? Like, what are you actually doing this for? Like, what is it for? And sometimes the answer is the check, the bag. Like, sometimes the answer is just as simple as that. You're doing it for the money. Or you're doing it for to be in this room. Or you're doing it for this experience. Or you're that. So what are you doing it for? What is it going to help you towards? Is it helping you towards the bigger picture? Like, okay, so let's say one day I want to be... have a TV show that's the world's best TV show ever. Would writing something for the theatre going to help you towards that? Yes, it will. Cool. So say yes to it.
Yeah.
What are you trying to prove? What are you trying to prove, hun? It's just so you can be like, oh, look, I'm working with this brand. What are you trying to prove by saying yes to this thing? And the last one is, what do you have to lose? Yeah, my last one's always, what do you have to lose? Can this mess up things for you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also because taking too many opportunities or, yeah, and like spreading yourself too thin or not being
yeah.
necessarily sure on those opportunities or whatever can also fuck it up too. It's not as
yeah,
easy as always to
exactly.
be like, yes to the right ones and no
yeah.
to the wrong ones.
Yeah, definitely.
Like sometimes there are too many right ones at once and you'd fuck it up if you take all of them too.
Yep.
So I think that's very, very valid. And for people kind of who wanted to or who are wanting to mould their career kind of as you've done... what advice would you give to them?
Okay, so I think it's really important to know when it's like, someone told me to me as well before, when to know it's like, the season in your life is just about working your ass off. Know your seasons. So like there was a season not that long ago at all, where I was saying yes and doing so many things out of my comfort zone. Just like because this is my season to say yes to things, my season to do as much things I can do. This is my season to figure out what I like and what I don't like. And I guess when I look back to even very early on when I was interning, I was like, no, I don't want to be a PR. No, I don't want to work in the music industry. It was my season to figure things out, sort of thing. So I think sometimes we're kind of like, you want to be a writer, so just write. Okay, but what other things live in that world? Like, what other things can you do? And sometimes you do it, you can be good at it, you can be like, but I don't want to do this. I don't love it.
Mm.
Like, I find that with producing, I can do it, but I don't love it. I don't love it at all.
Yeah, absolutely. So and there's always place for those things as well.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a skill set worth having. It's a skill set that served me very, very well.
Yeah, and what season are you in now?
Right now? I need to focus. I need to focus. I need to start thinking of the bigger things now. Like, I need to start thinking of, like, things that are going to... the household namey things, the things that are going to, like, be stuck. Because there's certain things that you can peel off quite quickly. But I need to start thinking about things that I want to stick now, sort of thing. So I need to focus on my much bigger pictures and focus on what life looks like for me in 10 years' time according to what I'm doing now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I want to know about your hardest day at work. It can be because of like work, or it can be because of personal life, or it can just be like something you really had to get through. Tell us about that hardest day.
Do you know what? There's been one recently, actually. So obviously we've been writing the book, and whilst in the season of writing this book during COVID, we're writing this book where the world looks really dim and, like, you know, awful outside.
Yeah.
And you think, that's great, you're inside inspiration. I was like, no, it kind of just shuts you out. And then I got the news that my dad had died. And
no,
Thank you. Still having the deadline. And then I was just like, no, push through. Just get it done. Like, you know, it is what it is. Like, you not meeting this deadline is not going to bring your dad back, sort of thing. And I remember, like, just trying to write. And obviously, nothing was happening. And then, because I'm such a person that's like, I will get things done, sort of thing, and I don't want sympathy and blah, 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 blah. I remember having to email the editor to be like, I'm not going to meet this deadline. And I think it was like the first deadline, either the first or the second. And I was just like, I'm really sorry, but like, my dad's died. I'm just not going to meet this deadline, sort of thing. And of course, she was like, of course you shouldn't. Why would you think that it would, like, why did you even, of course don't write, like, go and spend time with your family and all of that kind of stuff. So I think that was really, really hard for me because it was the first deadline, first or second deadline. And prior to like doing the book, I was just like, I'm going to be really good at this. I'm going to meet all the deadlines. I mean, once I missed that one, I just carried on missing them. But I was like, before this, I'd worked myself up to be like, you're going to be really good. You're going to catch your deadlines. You're going to be structured. And then obviously something happens that completely threw me, of course.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I don't know how to deal with this. And I don't know how to carry on. Like, what happens? Do you just stop for a long time and then carry on working? Do you try to work through it? And there were times like I was still like trying to like work through it and things like that. And I remember, I think I just stopped for about, I was talking to my best friend and she was just like, just stop.
Yeah.
Like,
just give yourself the
like,
space.
Just stop. Like, it doesn't, like, none of it matters. And she was like, can you afford to not work for, and I was like, yeah. She was like, so stop. And like, even if you couldn't afford it, you like something would, you'd work it out.
Yeah.
And I remember just being like, just having to make myself stop. And like I was working for other companies. I had to be like, hey, this can't be done. And I'm like trying to like give away my responsibilities, I guess, of what I was meant to be doing that time. And I found that really, really hard because I felt like, yeah, I was letting people down. And I was letting myself down by like not being able to fulfill things I'd said I could do.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember it was already a really busy time, and then that happened, and I was just like, oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it absolutely. And I think that's a, you know, as your friend said in that moment, it doesn't matter. And yeah, I think that definitely. We get so swept up in the idea that something like career progression or something, like even if you sit a year out, if you know, we all need to pay our bills, like, yes, of course. Yeah. But if you sit a year out where you're not pushing and you're not in the place to be pushing and you've been through stuff or your mental health isn't there or you're going through grief or whatever it might be, you will be fine. And like, you will do, you know, you'll still do, and like all of that. And it's so mad that in those times we still, like, our worry straight away goes to like work.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
It's insane.
It's sad as well. Because you think like, I shouldn't care at the end of all of this. And this thing should show me as well that actually that doesn't matter.
Like, you feel like, I used to feel like I'd have to tweet every day. I'd have to put something on Instagram every day. Just because it was like, the industry felt so disposable.
Mm.
And I didn't want to be like, oh, if I'm just away for a bit, people, what if I don't matter anymore? What if no one's interested anymore?
And I think, you know, especially with you being... with you being online and with people having kind of quote unquote access to you and access to your personality and to who you are, yeah, and your truths and all of that, it gets more and more complex because that's exactly it. We are not programmed to take in this many opinions, no matter how, yep, accountable you need to be, no matter how nice they are with a few, you know, bad ones, or it's not even really that mean, but you just didn't want to see it that day or whatever.
Yep.
It's kind of,
yeah, definitely.
It's, I mean, I think it's so interesting what you say about the visibility, because I feel like you look back now and you think like, why was that even a concern? And I remember the one time, like, I was like in hospital for like a prolonged period of time. And
yeah,
I was continually posting like on Instagram, like old stuff and all of this thing, because I was just like, I should step back. But then I was also like, you know what, it's actually probably easier just like not to answer questions and just like, yep, I don't want to fall off the face of the earth, and I don't want to, just because like this isn't okay or whatever. And it's like, you look back and you're like, what the
it's
fuck
insane.
Has happened?
Like, literally. Like,
what
and ultimately,
has happened?
No one cares anyway. Ultimately, no one gives a shit.
No,
Solani.
No,
like,
no one's looking on and being like, what's Grace doing in that today?
Oh, where's Solani today? No one's thinking that. Everyone's carrying on as normal, you knob. Like, how are you, why are we putting ourselves through discomfort to like feel like we need to put up an image all the time? I'm so happy I've been able to shed that and like really stand in this, like, I do this. I decided in my social media a long time ago, like, I post what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is my space. Mm-hmm. This is genuinely my space. It's my password. It's my, like, I will post whatever brings me joy, sort of thing. It's not because of what you expect to see from me.
Yeah. And I think we all, like, no matter what, you know, because not everyone will be in the public eye or whatever, but I think it's exactly that. It's that we all, not just those people whose jobs are front-facing or whatever, we all need to establish these boundaries, because we all have it to some extent, even if it's just to, like, our friends who also, you know, we also have our, like, primary school friends on, like, Instagram,
yeah,
so we don't want them to see, you know, this, that and the other, or we want them to see us looking a certain way or anything. And it's like, no. Like, this page is my page. It's going to be what I want. And I think one of the big things I saw you say once was about, you know, people constantly asking, like, oh, what do you want to see from my page? And you posted,
yeah,
something being like, post what you fucking want. Like,
yep,
it's your page. And I think it's so true as well, because I see new people come up every day with these, like, amazing, unique things. And they,
yeah,
did that because they were able to just be like, oh, it's my page, I'm going to post what I want. Like, think of, like, Mrs.
Exactly.
Pinch or something. Like,
exactly,
she wanted to clean. So
and,
she
and
started
she did that.
Cleaning
so she,
and posting.
Literally.
And, like, she wasn't posting TikTok dances because it were, you know, as in, and don't get me wrong, like, there's a value, you know, there's value in all of that, but it's exactly that.
Of
it's
course.
Just being like,
yeah, yeah,
be yourself. And it's all about that shaping. Like, that's exactly, that's also how you made your career as well. It's do,
yeah, exactly,
do bring your joy and your output and what you want from it into all of your work as well. We're going to go on to some quick fire, hardly working questions. I'm just going to go Netflix or a walk?
Netflix.
After work, a cup of tea or a glass of wine?
a glass of wine. But also, every single evening, I debate with myself if I should have a tea or alcohol, because I'm trying to feel like, what is the right balance here of not too much alcohol?
Yeah, so like, I find the kind of the way to combat that is by not having the discussion.
Just doing whatever your heart feels like it. No, literally yesterday I turned the kettle on, but then I went to go pick up a mug, but I got a glass, like a wine glass out, and I was like, oh no.
It's a sign. It's like the BBC all over again.
Yeah, like I think it is. I think I should have a wine. But yeah, I think it's a wine. It's a wine.
Yeah. I mean, if we're honest, I think.
Yeah, it's a wine.
That's what I mean by I don't have the debate. If I don't give myself the question of whether something else would be a better option, then there's no question, is there?
Yeah, exactly.
I could just go on with my date. Last one, introvert or extrovert?
I'm definitely an extrovert.
Yeah. Have you always been an extrovert?
Really cool. Yeah, absolutely. I've always been a kid that spoke too much. I've always been a kid that got in trouble for talking too much. I know there's a whole thing with people not being like, I don't like people. I really like people.
I feel like there was a big Twitter movement at one point that was like, oh, because I hate people and like all of this. And I was like, God, I get all of my validation from other people. Exactly.
I am not that person who is like, my personality is like, oh, I don't like people. I just want to stay in my bed all day. I love staying in my bed all day, but I genuinely find people so intriguing. And I guess that's linked to, I love stories and people come with stories. Yeah. And I don't see a version of life or a version of my life. Yeah. Like, I'm obsessed with it. And I don't see a version of life or my life that doesn't involve, that doesn't have the involvement of people in their stories. I think that's a really sad life to have.
It's like when you go out to, like, when you go out to dinner with, like, interesting people and you don't, like, want to talk about, like, as in, it sounds so bad, it's like, oh, you don't want to talk about yourself. But, like, as in, when you're literally just like, I just want to know more about, like, this story or whatever
Genuinely,
the most recent date you went on, or, like, how you got to where you are now. And it's exactly that. It's like, I know how my day went. I don't want to talk about
that. Like, tell me about yours.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, so I have friends who I call, because then, because I'm a phone person. Like, I'm not really a texter. I like to do a whole, ever talk to you a while, we do a 2-hour conversation. I know that. I've done it now. I don't have to do bitty conversations with you by WhatsApp. And I'll call them, they'll be like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. I just want to talk. Like, why does something have to be wrong? Like, can't we just
talk? I would like to chat.
Yeah, I would just, like, I remember literally called my friend, like, this week. I was on my way home. I was like, I was like, what's the matter? I was like, nothing. Just want to chat.
Yeah. Do you think that Talani on the weekends is a different person, or, like, outside of work is a different person to Talani in work?
Not at all. I am one of those very few people that I'm so happy I am, I never thought I would be, that gets to present myself in all of my spaces that I go to. And it's genuinely the best part of my job. I can just be me everywhere. And me obviously comes in so many multifacets and so many different faces. But, like, ultimately, I can be me in everywhere I am. I remember when I used to work full time at certain jobs and I would come out and literally do a sigh, like, literally, I step out of the office. And as soon as I stepped out, I felt like, do you know the relief you get from taking the bra off? That's how I'd feel, just because I was out of that building. But then knowing that the next day...
I hope you did that as well. Like, yeah, as you're coming out of the office, flinging your bra off.
Yeah, like, literally, it used to feel, like, great. Just like, and now I'm out. Sometimes I remember in the mornings, I'd be walking to work and I'd be like, I hope there's a fire. Not because I want anyone to die. I just...
It's not what I was expecting, I'll be honest.
I know it sounds so bad, but, like, just so I didn't have to work that day. Or just so I could go back home that day. So now that I'm, like, in a situation where I just get to present myself as I am, I can, like, and there's something really nice, even though I don't have to concentrate on it too much because it's fleeting, something really nice in being known that people like you for who you are is nice. There's something really, really, really nice about that. And I don't have to pretend.
Yeah. And I think a lot of my early career.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's natural to obviously, I mean, like that. We all want to be liked. And I think there's a key part of that as well. You know, you have created a career based on this kind of personal brand, and, like, your work is valued for you and who you are and what your experience is in, like, within that, which is, I mean, ultimately, it's the dream. You're not going to be, no one's going to see anything and be like, oh my God, I saw, you know, Tolly doing this on the weekend.
And then you're like, yeah, there is nothing.
I'll talk about it next week on the podcast.
And that's the thing. People are very aware that I will do that. I often say, I was like, I'm friendly, but I'm not your friend. And that's important for me because that's a boundary that I have to have. Because I'm like, I literally self-cannibalize on the podcast. And I think sometimes people see that as being like, I get the weirdest messages. I remember like when I did say that I'd lost my dad, because I didn't say it for ages because I was like, I knew what was going to come from it. I didn't mention it for ages. And I started getting DMs like, how does it feel? I don't talk to my dad and I'm really worried about how I'm going to feel when he dies, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, no.
This access is not yours. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Like, no. Like, there was no, I've never spoken about it on the podcast. I don't talk about it. And it's important that, especially when you work in something, that you give yourself to. And, like, you have to create your own boundaries. You have to be like, that I'm not doing.
And how do you, I mean, protect that? Protect your mental health or protect your sanity or your kind of depiction of yourself when people have that access to you. I mean, it's amazing that people love you for exactly who you are, but it also means that people know exactly who you are inside and out, and there's part of that that's also scary.
Yeah, definitely. It's really hard. I can't say. Early days, it was fine because it was like, I didn't think anyone listened to the podcast. So I was very like, and here's how I feel, and here was all of these things. I was very, very much self-cannibalizing consistently. But that's what, it's really weird that we are at a place where, especially women, you feel like you have to give a lot more of yourself in order to be a brand. Do you know what I mean? It can't just be, and here's this thing I have. It's like, and here's, I'm selling me to you too. And I am this person because that's what seems to sell. And that's hard. That's hard to, it's hard to create boundaries and be like, I'm sure you must find that because you're Grace and you have your brand as well. But you have to, especially early days, I'm sure you felt that.
Well, I feel like I'm so glad you said that because, I mean, I actually read, I do this thing where, like, something's happening to me, so I'll read lots of studies on it to make sure that I'm not going insane. And what I read a lot about is, you know, like, the idea of, like, success in women and the fact that it's, you know, you are perceived to be, you're perceived to be so much less likeable if you don't essentially provide this, like, access, or don't pretend to be, like, overly humble, or don't, you know, don't kind of do things that will offset the fact that you're successful. So, like, saying something and it's like, but I'm actually not very good at this, or but my, like, one thing is that I can never hold down a relationship, or, like, but this, this, and this. And it creates this, like, you know, and I definitely, like, leaned into it for, like, a lot of the beginning of my career. I was like, well, I'm, you know, I feel like I'm very extroverted. I want to chat. I want to tell stories. So I was really happy sharing everything. And then it came to a point where I was like, this access cannot have for my mental health. Like, I can't have it. It's making me think things about myself that aren't even true. And it's just, I'm going insane. And
oh, it's a lot.
It's wild, though, that that's kind of in success and women and personal brands. That is like, it has to include our personal life, whereas a personal brand for a man doesn't need to be anything other than
it doesn't need to be a performance. I'm selling this pen, go and buy this pen. But for me, I feel I have to be like, this pen I used to write my notes to my lover. Like,
my
I have
love like letters. Like,
this pen writes the notes to my, you know, to my late love of the night. Like, it's just everything has to come with a story. And why?
Yeah, but that's, I mean,
why can't you just be happy with what I give you? And that's what I find really hard sometimes. Take what I give you.
Yeah, and I think that is, because I've always thought, because obviously the receipts is so open and so like sharing, and it's real life stories and it's real life opinions and real life feelings. And I can imagine, because I mean, I mean, I'm sure I didn't have it anywhere near on the same scale or whatever it was, but I just got to a point where I was like, I need to choose my mental health and sanity over my quote-unquote success within this field. I was like, this access needs to go because I'm not giving it anymore. Like, it's not with my permission anymore. And therefore, like, I guess I'll just throw it away.
Yeah, but literally.
It's such a strange decision to make. You find yourself, like,
the information you gave people.
Yeah, and so within that, it just got to a point where I was like, okay, I need to be selective about this. And then I was like, I don't want to be selective about this. If I'm going to be doing this, I want to be doing this. And so kind of just got to a point where I was like, you know what? This is not, this was right for me at one point and is not right for me now. And I have to make the decision to compromise probably short-term income and opportunity and all of this for the fact that I will live and be happy.
Yeah. And that outweighs it every time. Every time.
And, you know, there's part of that as well where it's like, I shouldn't have to give my all and like bear everything inside me to also be successful or to have people appreciate me for me or think I'm not a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, off you go then.
Yeah, like, I shouldn't have to, like, and especially with trauma, I shouldn't have to sell my trauma to you for me to be likable.
Big one. Like,
well, you share the good times, you have to share the bad times. No, I bloody don't.
And especially when it's often then, you know, the way the internet works is it's kind of commoditized and, like, sold back to you or, you know, used in certain ways. And it's like, okay, you know what? We had our fun.
Yep.
I will remember this now. Privilege. Yeah. You, this is why we can't have nice things.
And it's so funny because it's like there's so many nice people on the internet, genuinely so many nice people, but it's just a few people that are like, you know, you've made this, you ruined it, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it is so important to protect. I want to say thank you so much for coming on. It has been fantastic to hear from you about all your work. I mean, you say you love telling stories. I think you should write a book. I literally have your book right here.
Well, done it now.
But, you know, all of the, like, work stories and everything, it's so within you and you tell them so fantastically. And I mean, just through and through, it's so clear why people love you so much, even if it is it's all oversharing.
It's a lot of oversharing and pouring my own heart out, but it's fine. I'll take it all back once I have a husband and kids.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, it's been so great to have you on. And make sure, everyone on this, you go and buy the Keep the Receipts book. I'm not sure whether it will still be on pre-order or out by the time this episode comes out, mainly because I don't have dates. But
yeah, that's
one.
Fine. Just make sure to grab it. Yep, do it.
Just go and buy it.
It'll be amazing. Yeah, got the book coming out, Keep the Receipts, that you can buy, and the podcast, the Receipts podcast is on every Wednesday. Oh, it's on. You can just listen to it whenever you want. But new episodes come out every Wednesdays. And the other podcast that I do, 10-10 Would Recommend, which is me recommending Netflix shows, is out every Fridays.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, babe. That was amazing.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Working Hard, Hardly Working. I have been Grace Beverley and you can find me at Grace Beverley, L-E-Y, remember that one, on Instagram and on LinkedIn if you are that way inclined. Please, after listening to this episode, it really, really helps if you can leave a review, particularly on Apple Podcasts. That seems to be the best way to help out a podcast at the moment. But please like the episode, subscribe, share it, tag me, tag your friends, do whatever you want to do, but spread the word and let me know what you'd like to see next on any of my social platforms. Just get in touch. I'd love to talk about some more interesting things. So shoot your suggestions my way and I will see you next time.